Let's now consider the bullionist debates, which were a formative period for what later became modern monetary theory. Just for general background, England had been on a de facto gold standard since earlier in the 18th century. Pictured here is the Bank of England, which was founded in 1694. Originally, it was to create a market in English government debt, but over time it evolved to be more of a central bank. In the late 18th century, it was the only joint stock bank in England and Wales, and it also had a monopoly on note issue for the area near London. We then have the Napoleonic Wars, which were a shifting series of struggles between 1792 and 1815, and of course England ended up being involved. In 1797, there are rumors of a possible French invasion, and that provokes a run on English banks. Note holders, rather than holding notes, they want their gold back, and a lot of them go to banks at the same time and request that their notes be converted back into gold. But as is commonly the case in banking, the banks are not liquid enough to accommodate so many of these requests all at the same time. In response, the British government then suspends specie payments, and that means that convertibility of notes into gold is no longer possible, and in essence, England is now operating with a paper currency. The bullionist controversies are a series of overlapping debates, lasting decades actually, but the first round of the bullionist debates concerned trying to figure out what it meant for England to have a paper currency, and that round is what we're considering in this video. The central bullionist claim can be stated pretty simply, and it's this, namely that rising prices and falling exchanges stemmed from an overissue of notes from the Bank of England. We're now in this world of paper money, the Bank of England starts printing more of it, prices are going up, the value of the pound is falling on international markets, and the bullionists are simply making some very logical points grounded in what we now call the quantity theory of money. They thought that the money supply was very important in explaining these phenomena. The first major statement of the bullionist position was written up by Walter Lloyd in an 1801 pamphlet entitled Letter to the Right Honorable William Pitt. You can find a version of this online through Google Books. Another prominent and insightful early bullionist writer was Henry Parnell. I think of the bullionist debates as the period when the quantity theory of money goes from being an abstraction, say written about by David Hume, to being a practical tool used on a regular basis to examine the behavior and policy of central banks. Overall, the bullionist debates strike me as extremely modern. They're a very tight integration of economic reasoning and commentary on daily events, in this case, monetary economics. The group that we lump together and call the anti-bullionists, they had a very different point of view. In general, they were concerned to exonerate the Bank of England and say that the Bank of England wasn't really mainly to blame. Some of these individuals actually are more like apologists than economists. In general, the anti-bullionists stressed real factors. For instance, they noted that some harvests were bad, so if the economy was poor and prices were high or rising, in part this was due to real factors in the economy, and it wasn't primarily due to bad monetary policy. The extent to which economic crises are real in nature or monetary in origin, this remains one of the central disputes in macroeconomics, and the bullionist debates are really a very early time where you see these two views confronting each other very directly and the implications of each view being worked out as tightly as possible. Just to complicate matters a bit, some of the anti-bullionists had a further view, which we now call the real bills doctrine. This is influential throughout the 19th and indeed the 20th centuries. And the real bills doctrine stated something like this, that the central bank should discount only short-term, good-quality commercial paper, that if such paper was presented to the bank could create credit against it. Eventually, this credit would be self-liquidating, and this was one formula for what was at the time considered to be a good monetary policy. To oversimplify just a bit, you can think of the real bills theorists as a kind of contrast to the quantity theorists. The real bills theorists said that if the central bank followed some formula like this, that the supply of money would take care of itself, and we shouldn't think of the supply of money as an exogenous source of trouble imposing itself on the economy. Rather, if there was a problem, it was likely the case this was because the central bank was not following the real bills doctrine. And some of the real bills theorists argued at that time that the Bank of England was following something like this doctrine, therefore the Bank of England was unlikely to be the source of the economic troubles of that time. Some of the more prominent anti-bullionist writers, well, they're given by this list of names here. Now enter Henry Thornton, who in 1802 publishes a book called An Enquiry into the Nature and Effects of the Paper Credit of Great Britain. This remains the best-known contribution arising from the bullionist debates. We have a separate video on Henry Thornton, so I won't go through everything about him, but from the point of view of the bullionist debates, you can think of Thornton as synthesizing the best of both sides, but also understanding that the quantity of money really matters, so ultimately I would put Thornton more in the bullionist camp. In terms of policy, Thornton had some significant advice. He argued that banks should hold enough reserves to lend freely to domestic borrowers even when there's a bank run. So that would mean banks should be much more liquid, and the point of this lending is to keep the economy also liquid. What Thornton was worried about is that banks would have to contract credit to economize on their reserves, and in general he believed in discretionary management through the Bank of England, through central banks, to avoid deflationary pressures on an economy. And this makes Thornton, of course, extremely modern. Thornton also rejected the real bills doctrine and provided what is still one of the best critiques of that view, and he argued that what you would discount as central bank policy isn't just the only policy decision. What also really matters is central bank interest rate policy, and when we take interest rate policy into account, it can be the case that you have a central bank following the real bills doctrine, which is still expanding money and credit in a way which can be inflationary or harmful. Again, for more on Thornton, see our video just on him. One thing to keep in mind when reading through the bullionist debates or about the bullionist debates is just how skimpy the data were back then, and people complain about this in those pamphlets all the time. So there were data on, say, the price of wheat, bills of exchange, or the sterling price of gold bullion, but there were not price indices in the modern sense, so to some extent, empirically, these economists were writing in the dark. Note that these are just the beginnings of the bullionist debates, and we'll be covering more in our next video. But for an introduction to this period, a very good place to go is David Laidler's essay, Highlights of the Bullionist Controversy. I've drawn on that fairly closely in some parts. There's a good piece by Arnarn online. Thomas Humphrey has a good piece. There's a whole book by Jacob Viner. Again, it's online, and the chapters on the bullionist debates are excellent.